Hey everyone, welcome to episode 224 of the Your Money Your Life podcast. We do this every week. Make sure you like, subscribe, five-star rate, and review the pod wherever you're listening. Also, if you're watching on YouTube, do the same thing. Let's dive right into the episode and speak first and foremost about the market update. Really, it's actually been bullish times for the market, actually. If you look at, we had a couple data points come out yesterday. One being the consumer price index. Consumer prices rose 0.4%, excuse me, 0.3% from the prior month, which was slightly below the estimate. And they also grew 3.4% from a year ago. So year over year, prices increased 3.4%. And then on a monthly basis from the prior month, 0.3%. So muted gains, but roughly in line with what was expected on the monthly number. It was slightly lower by a tenth of a percent. So it's still looking good, at least for that prior month. I mean, still going to be bumpy. We had 1 month of smooth or muted data. That's fine. So the market kind of really took that as to be a bullish meaning from what the Fed will potentially do in the future. So the market was really bullish yesterday. If you look at the chart, yesterday was a strong day for the market, but S&P 500 up over 1%. If you look over the past week, it's been a strong week, really, with again yesterday's big move. And year to date, of course, we're in the double digit gains again on the S&P 500. And so again, another still again a solid day week for the market, and we'll see how what happens today. It's slightly up in the futures trading. Again, nothing to write home about, but we'll see how it trades. S&P 500 edged over 5,300 for the first time, which is a first, meaning we're getting to gains that we haven't seen in a while. Now, remember, that's because you hear or see or something like the market went up X amount or it's the highest in time. That doesn't mean that your money is just linear. Nobody's money in the market goes up linearly, in a linear fashion, right? So if you are part of a bull market and bear markets, right? If you're part of a bear market, you have to have even more of a bull market for your money to recover. We did an episode on this prior to where we talk about what actually happens and the real things of the market. So if your money goes down 10%, it has to go up by more than 10% to even get you back to break even, right? And so people get these headlines, they don't fully understand how things work, but that's the part of the give trade-off you have for being in the market, right? So risk reward, all these different things. It's all part of trading and the market. So that's the big data. So market is recognizing that inflation dynamics are looking favorable, says one person. But there are some good takeaways from earnings season. I do think a lot of companies have performed fairly well in earnings this year and this season. I talked about what did we talk about on CNBC yesterday? Cisco. We talked about Walmart, and we talked about Under Armour on my CNBC segment yesterday. And it looked like Walmart had a strong earnings. They're up more than 2%. We liked Walmart for our trade. Again, they had better than expected earnings and some other items that came into fruition on the top line. So that's the big moves there when it comes to the market. Again, lots to go over. And again, we talked about Walmart earnings, revenue, and earnings expectations were beat. They also had significant e-commerce gains. They drove profits with newer businesses like advertising. So they're doing a lot of advertising now. So at Walmart's getting into the advertising. There's ancillary businesses that Walmart, all these big companies that have a foothold in their market, their primary core market, are you looking at ancillary businesses to increase profits, increase revenue? And Walmart is doing stuff like advertising, adding to advertising, as well as financial services and healthcare, different things of that nature. So looks like the CFO was on CNBC and he said that other factors boosting Walmart's grocery business is the widening gap between the price of cooking at home and buying food at restaurants. So the Walmart CFO is saying that there is a big gap, meaning it's more expensive to eat out than it is to buy food at home and cook it at home. So that widening gap is allowing them to gain market share in the grocery business. He also added that shoppers, especially with higher incomes, appreciate the convenience that Walmart offers. It's just a nice way of saying that rich people are shopping at Walmart too. That's insane. Or it will be saying that people that have better incomes are shopping at Walmart too. Okay. So this is interesting. And this is, again, one that we liked when we were on CNBC yesterday. You can check out the segment on the platform by searching my name. Shout out to CNBC. What else do we have? Oh, meme stocks. Meme stocks back in fashion. Let's get into current updates, news updates. So Keith Gill, who's Roaring Kitty, who started the GameStop craze, what was that, 3 years ago now? He was on Reddit, he was on YouTube, he was posting about it. He was the leader of the retail traders. And then he left after his old debacle. He left for years. He had, didn't tweet for years, didn't do nothing. No one saw him, no one heard of him. If you guys watch the movie, what's it called now? Dumb Money? Yes, Dumb Money, the movie. It's on all platforms, actually. Really good movie. I think it might be exclusive to Netflix. I know that. I think that's where we watched it. But really good movie. Excuse me, I take that back. It is on Netflix, but it's not exclusive to Netflix. Speaking of which, that movie, I should have been. There was a segment where they did. There was an old show on CNBC that I used to do like once a week called Trading Nation. Really good show. It was like 2 minute bites of like two money managers really just talking about specific spots, and a lot of times we had opinion opposite values. This is like First Take sports talk show for CNBC. Really good, liked it, loved it. And in those clips, we did talk about during those times, because this was years back, GameStop, all those craze. I could have point be I could have been in the Dumb Money movie. There was a clip they used of one of our opponents talking, and I'm pretty sure I was on that segment that day because they were talking about like meme stocks and different things, and they didn't pull my clip. I would have let them pull my clip. We wouldn't even have to pay. No compensation needed. I would have let them use the clip, but apparently they used a different one. That's an aside, but Keith Gill, the guy, seems to be back. He tweeted for the first time in years, and he triggered another mini rally and mini rally in meme stocks, namely being AMC, GameStop. They had a couple of days of increased bullish runs, but now they've kind of deflated a bit. But people were running if he was bringing back meme stocks. Okay, a lot of people that think this. I understand the FOMO that comes with this, and I still stay at the same position I've always had. It's not some great ticket to generational wealth. It's not. You're more than likely going to get left holding the bag, meaning buying at the top and watching it disintegrate and then panic selling at the bottom. If you're a trader, if you want to gamble, sure, do your thing. I'd say do it wisely. Like they always warn people, gamble responsibly. But again, it's not some ticket. There is no gonna get $1 billion from this. There just isn't. But your brain won't allow you to understand that because the dopamine effects that happen when you trade or gamble or do something that you feel like elicits some sort of, crazy outcome, which normally, again, it's not gonna be the outcome you expect. But you see people doing this more and more. It seems like he's reinvigorated Keith Gill, Roaring Kitty. Reinvigorating retail traders and day traders. Still quiet now, but you'll see some of them start to come around and say this and that. But again, if that's a portion of gambling, that's okay. If it's your actual ticket to retirement planning, financial planning, just not the smartest ticket. And we've talked about that plenty of times. And no one says it when no one really gives you credit when you save them from something, right? They only remember making money from what you've given them, or even not making enough, but they never give you credit for when you save them from something. That's interesting. Just remember that, folks. Just remember. Moving forward, let's see. TikTok potentially has a new billionaire bidder. So billionaire Frank McGirt says his project Liberty is forming a team with Guggenheim Securities to launch a bid for TikTok's U.S. business. Project Liberty wants to move TikTok's platform to an open source decentralized protocol, allowing users to control their data regardless of the social media app that's being used. He's not saying how much TikTok is worth. Okay. I don't know who this dude is. This just sounds like some political thing that is probably not going to come to fruition. Organizing people's bid for TikTok. So we're mobilizing a diverse coalition to support some of the country's leading investors, social impact organization. Yeah. Okay. I don't think this dude's going to be able to do it. Then it has to be sold by ByteDance, which is TikTok's Chinese owner, to a company within a year or face US government ban. There was a lawsuit again that we mentioned that. I don't know how that legality breaks down. If I see an article on it, I'll bring it here and break it down for us. But this guy, just trying to make some waves. This dude is not, whatever this Project Liberty is, it doesn't sound like this is going to happen. But we'll keep an eye on it. We'll keep an eye. I just don't believe that some open source thing is what's going to, they're going to sell TikTok to. If they do, it'd be the highest bidder. That makes, gives them the terms they want. Still some sort of like backhanded control of what's going on, but we'll see. Web braces for new Google search. So Google's revamped AI-infused search is making businesses that depend on web SERPs anxious. So of course, as you know, Google sells ads on search. With AI infusion, AI, those big conferences from both ChatGPT, Microsoft, partly owned, and Google's AIO conference, it could have been AIO. But there were some great headlines coming out of those conferences about how we're actually going to be able to use artificial intelligence on a consumer basis and what could potentially happen going forward. Really good technologies. But it's now potentially going to change search and how people search for things and where ads are going to be placed in search. So that's a big talking point for people. So what's going to happen? Because search, of course, for Google is a huge business. It's not going to change the business. This is only a winner for Google. I've always said this. Google has so much information. Their ability to use that information to intricately infuse AI and then do other things with advertising is going to make them a winner, one of the winners in this space. So we'll see what happened. There was a bit of a talk on AI. So let's go to that now. So again, those Google and OpenAI show off shows, they were impressive. Again, there was all over Twitter. It was everywhere where it was talked about these new language models, the higher up stepped language models. So ChatGPT 4.0 is 2 times as fast as its predecessor and will soon be released for free. Oh, okay. It features a sophisticated voice assistant that company says can hold realistic combos and respond to what you show through a camera. Okay, this is really interesting. So Google also previewed their similarly dubbed Gemini Live that's stop talking when you interrupt it, remembers interactions, and analyzes your face and environment through the phone camera. That this stuff is pretty good. These AI assistants, these things are, it's going to be really big for customer service. It's going to be really big for tutoring and teaching. But again, there's still going to have to be human interaction, and most people that are doing sales jobs or things that are, you know, really, you know, relationship based are going to be fine. And this stuff's not going to come down the pipeline for another bit. I know people love to scare people that it's coming and you're going to lose it. Like, no, I mean, people that are at, you know, potential risk in certain areas that are very mundane or repetitive, it'll be a while, but these things are coming and they're making huge strides. And the thing about these, as more information and data is gathered, the strides become quicker, right? It actually becomes faster in the how intelligent it gets. So this is gonna be something to watch. Okay, this is an interesting headline. Squarespace is taken private in a $6.9 billion deal. A private equity closes the public tab. Okay, so Squarespace, we know it. It's a website maker. It's now going private. Why did I not? This is interesting. Squarespace. Okay, so they went public at a $10 billion valuation, and now they're being taken private at $6.9 billion. So, okay, $3 billion off. Wix, it's another rival, is also still public, but I guess Squarespace wants to go public. Property Brothers of Corporate Finance, but it said they flip corporations. That was a definition of what private equity people are. So Silver Lake, who's doing the deal? So it looks like Permira, Squarespace buyout, is a second largest buyout behind Silver Lake's $13 billion deal to take WWE private. So let's get into the logistics of what it means to take company private. As you know, Squarespace, Wix, the competitors, they're public companies, meaning they were available to you to buy shares. The retail investors, people in the public could buy shares in this company if they've done their analysis or have a smart person that does their analysis and says that, oh, long-term, this would be a good company to own. But when you take a company back private and you buy out all the public shares and take it back private, you're pretty much buying out all the public shares that people own, taking all that, that's the valuation, coming to a valuation with the people that make decisions, the board, top shareholders, and getting things done where you could take the company private. Why do you take it private? Because you want to, you think that it's undervalued by some measure by the market, and you could do some things to fix said company and then either later resell it to another private buyer or bring it back public for more money, right? And so that's why this transaction happens. Private equity firms do some analysis of their own and decide that they want to make the company more efficient, do things to bolster revenue, and hopefully sell the company later on. And so they made it, struck a deal, and it's going private. A lot of people that have a lot of shares, meaning the executive teams and different things of that nature, will cash out from this take private deal and potentially go do something else. So interesting, didn't know that, but it's good to, that's how we do these updates, because it's good to see what is going on in the world. There wasn't much else as far as news. Let's see if we missed anything. We talked about AI. We talked about TikTok a bit. Talked about meme stocks. Yeah, that was the big, big nuts and bolts of this week. If we want, as a crew, we can now get into our market update of the week and talk what is, excuse me, not our market update. We will now get into our question of the week and talk about what we have for our question of the week. So let's get into it. Question of the week. First and foremost, what is the highest CPI inflation rate in U.S. history? What is the highest CPI inflation rate in U.S. history? Remember, consumer price index, we talked about it earlier, pretty much gives you a good look on the basket, what a basket of goods and services, that the rate at which it's increasing for consumers. So let's take a look at this. I'm assuming it was like in the 12, 13% back in the 80s, 70s, 80s. That would be my guess. It was a lot of inflation at that time. Oh, answer is 20.49%. That was in 1917. In 1917, prices increased. And I'm assuming this is, of course, year over year, 20%. So that means if you bought something for $100 last year in 1916, the next year, it's $120 to buy that same item. That's crazy. So that's why tracking inflation is important, because people want to understand that, you know, just saving money and doing different things is not always the best answer, right? Because if your dollar is worth less than it was the year before, that means you've lost in that short time. You've lost in that time frame. You've lost money. So that's why people invest to, one, not only beat inflation, but do better than inflation, and also preserve the value of your dollars, right? That's one of the big reasons why we see that, why we invest for a lot of people. Let's look again at our next question. Can you name the six American companies worth over $1 trillion? Six American companies worth over $1 trillion. All right, let's break it down together, folks. Of course, we're going to go with tech, because that's where a lot of the money is being made. Of course, we have Google, Microsoft, Apple, Meta, NVIDIA. Google, Amazon, Amazon, NVIDIA. I'm missing one. Where's our last one? Netflix? I'm assuming Netflix. Netflix? Let's see. Microsoft, we got it. Apple, we got it. NVIDIA, we got it. Alphabet, Meta. Oh, I missed Amazon. How did I miss Amazon? And the last one was Amazon. Okay. MC Microsoft is the top market cap company, worth over roughly $3 trillion. Apple comes in at second. NVIDIA rounding out third, with Google, Amazon, and Meta rounding out last. So that's a good one. That's a good question. I like that question. Folks, we hit a lot of things today. We hit questions. We hit good trivia questions, good market update and whatnot. So, hey, again, we do this every week. Make sure you like, share, subscribe, and we'll talk next week.